matters arising, what I'd like to do is go straight into paragraph 226 of the minutes, which relates to the advanced waterfront promenade and the Three Berths Western District. We've had some discussion about this already, and essentially I think we're going to have an update on design and how the project potentially could be taken forward. We've got the harbour unit who are going to brief us. That's Rosalind, Peter and Ida. We've got Central Western District, Suzanne and Jeff Mock. And then we've got ASD, Esmond Now, Kevin C and Jackie Lee. And my understanding is that they're going to take it in the order that Rosalind is going to talk to us first, then Suzanne, and then Esmond Now is going to supplement. So Rosalind, would you like to kick us off? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. From 2016 to 2018, the DEVB has actually consulted the XC and the Central and Western District Council on the short-term use as well as the corresponding implementation plan at the three former berths of the Western District Public Cargo Working Area. And we have also met with different concern groups to exchange views. After considering all the views received, we have issued an invitation for proposals in March 2018 with a view to identifying an NGOs, non-profit making organization, and or a social enterprise to operate a community garden and ancillary facilities on the about 2,000 meter square area at the hinterland part of the site. Submission deadline is in the June of 2018. For the remaining area, which is about 5,900 meters square in size, it will be developed into an advanced promenade and public open space for opening to the public 24 hours a day. Today, we would like to consult members on the design of the advanced promenade and the open space. As members might have noted, a number of promenade projects are being and have been rolled out in the Central and Western District, and it is considered that the design of the site today should be considered in a more holistic manner so that their usage could complement each other. Noting the many other passive open space in the district, the current proposal is to design the current site into a multi-purpose area so as to facilitate the carrying out of different activities by different people. This is also similar to the views of some groups who want to carry out only minimal work on the site. Before asking our trustee to introduce the design today, may I now invite the Central and Western District officers to give an overview on the respective positioning of the harbourfront areas within the district. Suzanne, please.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, Rosalind. Good afternoon, members. First of all, we'd like to start our remarks by emphasizing how much the importance that we attach to, you know, addressing the needs for a harbourfront space by our community. I think the common objective with DVB and members is really to release this very valuable harbourfront site to my community, the Central Western community, as soon as possible in a safe manner. I think this is a common objective, and we hope that the proposal that we present today represent a good balance of the views we have heard over the past 1 year. Now, first of all, I think I totally agree with HC members' view is that the harbourfront, particularly the Central and Western harbourfront, should be seen as a more holistic view, as Rosalind mentioned. We have various harbour sites that are currently under works, including three other sites that were under works using the District Council's District Minor Works Fund, which in the past I have briefly briefed members the works that were being carried out. I think the major objective is to release the site as soon as possible and to connect these different harbour fronts between the Sun Yat-sen Memorial Park and the Signature Project Scheme, which was just opened on the 28th of April. So that was broadly that view. I wanted today give members a general perspective as to how much diversity we would like to introduce to the Central and Western Harbourfront. And bear in mind that during our discussions with the community, we did hear different views from the stakeholders. Of course, a lot of members of the community want just free space, as much free space as possible for us to carry out any activities as much as we could. Some the members of the community wants facilities such as elderly fitness and then some children play equipment, things like that. And also some young people, NGOs, who want space for them to organize activities for the community as well, the larger community, such as those activities you have seen at the opening of the Central Project Scheme, and also many other activities successfully held by the district office, district council, and by the NGO themselves. A lot of initiatives actually were, initiatives introduced by the community and by the NGO themselves. So the things that the activities that I'm going to show members are not just the efforts of the government, but I want to emphasize it's also a joint effort by the NGO as well. So if members look at the slide, let me just report a little bit. What are the harbourfront sites that we are working on? To your most right-hand side, 420 meters long is the Sun Yat-sen Memorial Park. I'm sure a lot of members have visited there. It's a really popular site for a lot of parents, families, and they love using the lawn for reading and things like that. And then to its left, the 207 meters long is the Eastern Street Loft Car Park, which is now currently under the short-term tenancy for short-term, obviously, short-term car parking. Working very closely with TD, I really have to give a lot of thanks to XC members and also TD making a lot of efforts in reducing the number of cars there, so that now we're happy to announce that we will be able to set back the boundary, the harbourfront boundary of this car park site by 5 to 7.5 meters. We have obtained the approval by district council and about to commence works for releasing this part of the harbourfront site to connect the harbourfront area. And next to it, the left side next to it, is 170 meters long, the Format Road waterfront site, which was previously the Drainage Service Department site. My office has, with the approval of District Council, carrying out basic works by installing basic facilities, lighting, and things like that. And it's scheduled to be open and released to the community by June this year. I missed that. There's the Eaton Street Loft Car Park. We plan to complete the whole works by quarter one, first quarter next year, 2019. So further up to it, you see a little script there, it's 19 meters long. That is the pier number 5 of the Western Wholesale Market, because the signature project scheme only cover pier number 1 to 4. So that would be the 400 meters long. At that moment, because the pier number 5, it is at this moment still in operation by the seafood trade. But over the last year, we successfully secured their support for releasing this 90 meters long pier number 5 harbourfront area back to the community during daytime when they do not need the pier for loading and unloading the seafood. So we have already got the approval by district council, and we're doing some basic works, basically the sewage and also the railing, and then the gates, where if they traders still need to operate at night, then we need to give it back to them for safe operation for the loading and unloading. But the site after works will be able to be released to the community between 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. at night. So for this particular pier number 5, we will be able to connect during most of the daytime and also the evening until 10 p.m. And after 10 p.m., it will be in the hands of the trade operators for the loading and unloading, and at 7 a.m. they'll get it back to us. So basically, we are doing works like this. So by first quarter of 2019, if everything goes smooth, we should be able to connect Sun Yat-sen Memorial Park all the way to the signature project scheme. So that would really mean 1,350 meters long seafront length, connecting a whole harbourfront area of 56,000 square meters. So it's a lot of harbourfront space back to the community for their leisure, jogging, walking, and all kinds of activities that the community want to do. So that's basically that. I would not want to bother members with the photo, but these are the location, the maps, and then the photos of the existing sites, which will look a lot nicer, I think, afterwards. So so I would love to introduce also a little bit of the activities organized by NGOs for my district. This is the 12th Central and Western District Festival, where we actually invite 20 NGOs, mostly social enterprises by young people. Actually, they're initially founded and operate by young people. And just that afternoon, I'm very glad that some members, including our IC chairman, has joined us for the opening. Just that afternoon, we had recorded 6,500 residents in one afternoon joining this parent-child activity. They reading, they do a lot of using wooden furniture for, you know, drama, what different kinds of activities were there, and the residents are very happy. And next to it is another initiative by the Playwright. I'm sure quite a lot of members know about Playwright. They did a great job in encouraging parents to focus a lot on playtime. So they use different kind of material, sometimes it's wool, sometimes it's bamboo, different kind of material, to a separate community park so that kids really, you know, can make best use of the site and then enjoy the playtime with their parents. And the next slide shows a little leisure area outside our swimming pool, where instead of just a passive kind of, you know, leisure ground, we use it almost every Sunday, open it to the NGOs where they can organize different types of activities. Well, it could be father building bookshelves for the kids, and then kids do kind of drawing, and it could also be open for environmental protection, you know, recycling types of activities. Next slide is the space, open space, actually just outside my office. We release it to NGOs for, you know, encouraging urban farming type of workshops. Next is actually is LCSC's site, which had to thank LCSC for the flexibility. We organize an kind of like community exchange activities, music, you know, kids activities on the peak. So this is actually peak LCSC garden. Next is, this is actually part of my community hall. We opened the community hall again for fathers to build some bookshelves. And after this event, they voluntarily donate all these bookshelves back to the community for the underprivileged to pick it up and then use it, you know, for their own residents. Okay, next to it is another examples of we lease the site to young social enterprise startup for them to actually introduce their services to the community. Oh, next to it, that's actually, I think a lot of members know about it, is the sculptures exhibition by Art Center at Tamer. Okay, next to it is one of the projects that we use the cardboard, the used by the old tray, by Sing Kong Hui, and have a lot of young architects build different types of elderly fitness equipments. And all these 20 elderly fitness equipment, I'm very happy to tell members that they are actually now actively in use in a lot of elderly centers in Hong Kong. And all these are free, provide to all these elderly centers and built by young architects. So I'll continue. And very interestingly, a lot of parents come to ask me is if we could also release these kind of, you know, play equipment to kids as well, not just the elderly, because they're originally designed for, you know, preventing the amnesia kind of problems, but then they see the value for the kids to practice their muscle, you know, coordination as well. All right. So it's a lot of this. And then this is one of the events we organized in Shangwan, where we want to display the traditional trays, like, you know, the rice, you know, the rice tray, and then the Chinese medicine, Chinese rice seafood. Side by side with these traditional trays is a lot of booths and art workshop by the young artists, young people as well. So the entire exhibition was designed and organized by, again, young people. A lot of, you can see playing bangun is the old traditional shops in our district. And finally is the opening of the signature project scheme, where I'm very grateful for members that have joined us to witness a very important milestones for the completion and connection of our harbourfront. So in that event, I think it's very importantly, it's not just the hardware. That's what I want to emphasize. It's more importantly, it's a platform for supporting different organizations. No matter you're working on the welfare front, or you're working on the young entrepreneurship startup, or schools working with sports association that want space for activity, and also busking by young people as well, then you can come forth to this site because it's really peer type of thing. It's a peer shape of kind of garden. It's not too large a space, but a small type of peer which opens up a lot of vision and possibilities for a wide variety of activities. And that's something that I think is very welcome as shown from, you know, some a lot of the media. I'm very glad that we received almost 100% positive feedback from the community. I think, from the media, and also a lot of feedback, very positive feedback from the community, is they find it a very pleasant place where they can bring the whole family to attend there, to just use the space freely and some of them also enjoy activities organized by stakeholders as well. So no matter whether there is activities or not, they enjoy the space. So I think that's the most important message, that I think is a common objective for the government and also the HC, to build a variety of different harbor space with different design serving different stakeholders. So I'm very happy to answer any further questions from members. So I hand a time to Esmond from RHSD to introduce the design. Esmond.
Okay, let me introduce the design to the members. To tie in the initiative from the district and the expected usage for this open space, the main concept is really to provide a very flexible, flat surface area to this open space. You can see this is about 5,900 meters square. The long side is about 170 meters facing the harbor, and the short side is about 37 meters wide. On the west side, the site is abutting the bus terminus, and we intend to demolish all the existing fence to provide an open edge so that people can easily enter and have easy accessibility to the site. And on the west side, we also have an entrance to the middle of the site. And on the west, we are putting the existing cargo working area. And facing putting the hinterland of the community garden, we will provide some planters to differentiate the use of the open space and the community garden. On the west side, abutting the cargo working area, we put in a pack garden, and we intend to do different surfacing, like half is a hard pave and half is lawn area. And we also have several rain shelters along the edge abutting the community garden. The rain shelter will be simple and elegant designed, which is quite similar to the Sartine Community Green Station that completed recently ago. For the railing design, we want to keep a coherent design along the whole central western promenade, so we are adopting the same railing design as those used in the western central and western district promenade, the wholesale western wholesale food market section. It is a wire mesh GMS railing. And also we intend to set back the railing from the existing seawall, because we want to maintain the existing bollards for mooring boats to keep us artifacts that inherit from the site. For the lighting design, for the railing part, we want to adopt the same design in the SPS project, that is a LED lighting underneath the railing. And in order to light up the entire area, we propose a lamp post along the boundary abutting the community garden, so that they can have a wider coverage to the whole flatland. Also, along the promenade, we intend to design as a timber boardwalk to keep a more pleasant and comfort touch to the area. And along the edge between the boardwalk and the hard pave area, we will put in lighting bollards to enhance the lighting effect. This is the timber deck along the seawall area, and during the daytime and the effect at the night time. This is the overview of the whole project site, and you can see we keep the bollards for mooring boats along the seawall, and also we provide a big shelter facing the existing bus terminus, and next to the big shelter we have a toilet block that can serve the use for the open space, community garden, and also the bus terminus. This is the lighting effect at the night time. So that's all the presentation on the design of the open space.
Thank you very much. Rosalind, do you want to wrap up?
Yeah. Subject to the views of members today, we propose to consult the Central and Western District Council on the 11th of May. Consolidating the views received afterwards, we'll finalize the design, and we want to target to complete and open the promenade in phases for public enjoyment starting Q4 2018. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. We had a very, I think, informative and useful presentation by Suzanne about the good works that are happening along the promenade, right from the Sunset Yacht Park right through to where we are today. But I think just for this exercise, can we just focus on the design of this particular area? I think backcloth was important, context was important, but rather than going to analysis of each of the schemes, let's focus on the design of this particular scheme. Comments on that, please. The other thing is, we have with us Cherry Wong from the Protect Kennedy Town Alliance. Kennedy, welcome, Cherry. Cherry has asked to be able to express her views. Are members happy with that? Agreeable to that? I think, Cherry, if you do, you should focus on what we've seen today. And express your views on the design of the open space that we've had presented us to today. So I'll call you in a minute if I may, but I think members agree that you should present your views, so that's good. Let's take members' views first, and then Cherry, I'll come to you. So members, reaction and response to what you've seen. Please, lady first.
Yeah, thank you, Chairman.
Can we have the scheme up on this? That would be useful. Thank you.
Yeah, I think in principle, I have no problem with the overall design. I think it makes sense, and I'm looking forward to its opening. I only have one question, which was not actually, you know, sort of covered in the previous presentation from RHSD. It's a paving material that's being used, you know, for that area. I think the timber decking is good, but I understand that, of course, it may not be, you know, sort of the right material to use for all kinds of activities. But I also have a concern if we're going to use sort of solid concrete, you know, that location being the western side and in the afternoon, and most activities, I think, is from early afternoon to the evening. And I think during the summer time, the area, you know, that's under concrete would be extremely hot. And I think it's important to choose a material that is going to be a bit more heat absorbent and conducive to more use. So I would like that to be clarified, please, in terms of the material to be used, you know, for the concrete area.
Right. Team, I suggest let's collect the comments and then you can reply collectively. Next, please. Yep.
My turn? Yeah.
Yes, sorry.
Thank you, Chairman. On one point, about the setback of the safety rail, I don't know how much setback was it. Just for the sake of preserving the bollards, that sounds not too a strong reason to me to do the setback. You know, the setback is excessive, actually. People could walk outside the safety rail. That could create hazard by itself. I think there must be other ways to preserve the bollard without a setback. Thank you.
All right, bollards and safety. Working down, Walter. Yes, thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. I My impression is that the design is fine with me. I just want to have two questions. The number one is, I noted that there are two entrances to the open area. I would like to know whether it is, I mean, they are open to public for 24 hours, whether the public can have easy access to the two entrances. That's the first question. The second question is about the rain shelters. I have not noted that there are enough seatings in the, within the rain shelters. Could you also show the rain shelters again to us? Yeah, I would like to know more about whether there are sufficient seatings within the rain shelters. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Walter. Paul, please.
So my questions are based on the fact that this has been an actively used waterfront, and that's part of a currently actively used waterfront, which is the cargo working area. You've given us a whole list of sites that you currently use for events and activities which you hope that can take place here. And I believe they include Sun Yat-sen and Tamar Park and other waterfront areas that you have mentioned. I'd just like to know, of those sites you've mentioned, which one do allow drone flying, which one allow cycling, and which one allow dock walking currently? I support your concept that there should be diversity in the waterfront, and I believe this is the only site on the entire waterfront in Hong Kong, Victoria Harbour, 73 kilometres, where people communally fly drones, walk dogs, and cycle. None of those three activities, I believe, can be taking place at any of the other sites that you have mentioned. But events that you want to take place here are already taking place at all the other sites you've mentioned. So maybe you could explain that a little bit, why those activities are not going to be here and why we do events here that are possible at the other side. So try to get that a bit better understanding of that. I try to get a better understanding of the railing as the waterfront edge. Again, if I go back by last Sunday, yesterday, there were more people at the cargo working area than at the piers in front of the wholesale market. I did my head count, and there were many, many times more people at the cargo working area where there's no railing and where people can see the sun and sut, and then there were at your new railed-off piers. So what effort has been made to find solutions for the water edge other than placing railings, such as, for example, a step down where people can sit and rather than having their views blocked? If we can find a solution, or at least use this site to experiment, it could be workable potentially in other sites around the water. It's an issue that people have raised, and the community in Central Redison District have been very upset about in the past. So I wonder what efforts are being made to study a solution. Could you highlight a little bit more which fences will be removed between the site and the bus stop and the site and Tsing Chai Road? Then in terms of consultation, you say you're going to talk to the Central and Western District Council. Does the council have a program for consulting the community? And if so, how much money will be spent, and what's the program? I believe in the last meeting I asked the same question, but you did not answer. How much of your community involvement budget has been spent so far on consulting the public, and how many people are you going to have you consulted, and what will you do from here on? I know from my own district council that it's very difficult to understand what the term placemaking means, where a site is envisioned together with the community and then draft plans are drawn up and then ultimately final plans are drawn up. Chairman, I'll my other comments for second round.
Thank you. Ivan? Paul, there may not be a second round. We need to. We've got quite a busy agenda, and we've got a lot of items under AOB. So just be warned. Ivan, thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. The design presented here, I would say, is a good balance to, to respond to the need of different stakeholders. In particular, we have reserving quite a large proportion of the space for the possible event venue, and yet when you look at the timber full finished portion, you know, enable people still enjoying the waterfront when there is no event there. The floor finish at the center for the event venue, the heat problem during the summer I believe will be some problem, but I don't think of any immediate solution at the moment, because given you need a large venue space for event, it will be difficult unless it is a lawn area to reduce the heat during the summer. What I actually quite happy with is the provision of the toilet and the rainwater next to the bus terminus. Because actually, I think the bus driver will be very happy. And India, that actually should what a public space should do, you know, to benefit all the different stakeholder or user of the space nearby. The proposed setback of the railing, actually, I would say this is a very good example using design to resolve the need for different stakeholder. Paul just mentioned about the proposal of whether we can make the waterfront step down with different level. But what I see, this proposal is not quite practical at this stage, because it will involve a huge construction work and cost, and you know, interrupting the seawall, and you may need to do a lot of construction work in order to achieve the step down design. But instead, this is a sort of compromise, you know, setback, allow certain portion of the waterfront. First, you can keep the bollard, which, you know, is a lot of artifacts and collective memory for people living nearby or using the pier before. And second is also, you know, addressing or responding to the people to some of the stakeholders' requests from time to time. What we heard here is they want to be able to access to the waterfront, you know, without any barrier. So this is their choice. And at the same time, the government has fulfilled their responsibility to safeguard or to provide a safe public space with the railing for the people. So for me, this is a pretty good compromise and a very clever design resolution to address to this issue, at least for short term or with the limited resources we have at the hand. So I actually think this is a pretty good design in responding to all this debate and argument and discussion we have in the past. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you very much. Anybody else like to comment? Right, Cherry, would you like just to comment on what you've seen? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairman. We actually we care the conceptual design of the plan of the Saiwan Pier. I see this plan this morning. I got it from from some district councillor this morning. And it's just another conventional design, I think. But what kind of environment and design you want to deliver, and how that could preserve or create an essence for Saiwan Pier, and how this project serves as a pioneer for public involvement instead of just another project. And also, we know that there is a separate pet garden at the Saiwan Pier, and we immediately asked some dog owners group. They object that because the current whole area is open for the dogs and other people to enter. If you separate it into a separate dog garden, if I want to cycle, if I want to do ride my bicycle and with my dog, where should I go? Or we go into different area. My dog go to the pet garden, and I go to the other area. It's silly, right? We want an open space to cater all the activities and for all types of people. So why not do it as a pioneer scheme, as an open space to cater for different activities? And many international cities are actually going this direction, like Boston. And one thing that I would like to say is I visited the new promenade at the Western District Food Wholesale Market yesterday. I find that the promenade is quite narrow, and the toilet was a bit messy, even though very few people visiting the promenade there. The promenade already has stain and black patches on it, and we suspect it could be the problem of the management of the LCSD. So LCSD has to put effort to ensure the hygiene. We don't want this to repeat at the new Saiwan Pier. And also, I tried the fitness bike for the old people. We find that the design of the pedal, pose potential danger to all the people. The surface of the pedal is not flat. It's a bit bulging. So when you step your foot on it, your foot cannot stand on it firmly. So your foot will slip. So you had better check and change the design. Finally, we really want the Harbourfront Commission or Development Bureau to do a public consultation for that design, because it affects a lot of people, not only at the in the Western District, but the whole Hong Kong, because waterfront is the asset of the whole Hong Kong people. You have to consult to make sure that majority of the public accept that that design, and they like it. And also for the veiling, can it be? I think it's because it's not a legal requirement, as far as I know. It's just a matter of mentality or practice or what. So can you minimize the veiling to preserve the character of the Saiwan Pier? Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry. Thank you. I think just to echo what Paul asked is, how are you going to engage with the community? Because District Council, we know, is part of that engagement, but there's a group obviously here who have views, and there'll be other groups as well. So perhaps in your response you can share with us how you're going to engage with the community on this design. What I suggest we do is, why don't ArchSD start and deal with design issues, then Suzanne, maybe you can deal with community issues, and then Rosalind, if you want, you can wrap up. All right, let's do it that way. So ArchSD first, please. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman and members. Thanks for the comments. Well, let's talk about the paving material of the open space. We understand that timber is a better choice for the promenade area, because in terms of heat absorbance and walking comfortability is better, but it's more expensive. It's quite difficult to maintain. And we tried to balance between the cost, the effectiveness, and all the maintenance issue. We believe that paving material other than timber might be a alternative to this area, and in terms of construction time, it's also much shorter. So based on the program and the course, we plan the along the waterfront boundary. We have 4.5 meters timber deck area, and in the middle, we try to use paving material like concrete paving or brick paving, which is a bit slightly better than just concrete, but still it would absorb heat during daytime and release it in the evening. But this is the balance we have to face on. In terms of the setback of the railing, this is also another constraint we have to tackle with during our design, because we have a seawall, we have a coping stone along the waterfront, and we have to set back the railing to not to touch those CDDs seawall. What is why or not? I noticed that in the existing site conditions, there is a surface channel along the waterfront, and we have to avoid that surface channel. So we have to set back the railing slightly to not to touch it. And this is the constraint we're facing. Regarding the two entrances to the open space, one along the row, abutting the marine cargoes area, and we will open up the proper fence for the public to enter. The other side is abutting the bus stations. We will demolish the whole fence wall along that area, along that boundary, and open up for the public. For the rain shelters, we of course certainly we appreciate the desire for more seating, and we will do that. We will provide as much seating as possible, so long as the budget allows. For the area for drone flying, cycling, and pet, I leave it to Suzanne to answer for that. We notice, we certainly understand that the railing, a lot of people concerned about railing, the provision of railing, and for government projects, this is a very strict statutory requirement. We have to comply. We have to provide railing at least 1.1 meter height. We cannot compare it as existing cargo area where there is no railing, people can jump from the shore to the water. We cannot do that. We will look at the design to see if there is any means to make it more, it is difficult to make it invisible, but make it less intrusive. As Paul recommended, we may step down, but for this case, it's very difficult for that. But we will explore the idea of step down the timber deck, wheeling gallery on other projects, like we have the open space next to Sun Yat-sen Memorial Park. That one, we may try that. For this one, it's difficult because of the program and the course. Yeah, I think that's about it. I think leave it to Suzanne to do it.
Thank you. Suzanne, please.
Thank you, Chairman. Let me, all these issues we're talking about, you know, different stakeholders, different views, different needs, and then we're all talking about balancing. So we deal with the first very important priority of my, of the stand-up community first. I fully understand that there's quite strong views and strong demand for biking, and also, you know, more free space for walking dogs. We understand that because we have also had communications with charity concern groups and some other stakeholders in my community as well. And that is part of the reason why earlier on when DB put up the proposals, the government has two proposals. One is really for the NGOs to run it, and the other is for departments like LCSD. And I'm sure we don't need to repeat that. Is currently LCSD is under the statutory requirement, because if it designate or gazette as a public leisure ground, it has to follow the statutory requirements. We look forward to making progress, but at this particular moment that we have a such set of rules to comply. So that is the reality that a lot of some of the constraints that we need to face. But we hear members' views, we hear the community views, and I think it will be the commitment of HAD and LCSD. We are working together to see if a lot of multi-purpose approach that I've shown members just now is actually not sidetracked. We want to try to present to members some of the solutions that we have at the moment is try to work with NGOs and work with a lot of different stakeholders through community, community-based, activity-based, multi-purpose to introduce more activities. And by having different kinds of activities in each of the activities, we can allow more flexibilities, like, you know, all those that have been called for by members of the community. That's the approach that we have been looking into. And I think LCSD and my department are not just, you know, put a full stop here. We'll continue to look into other options as well. So trust us that we take biking and also the walking dog, you know, demand very seriously. And at least we will do it through activity approach. Whether or not we can move from activity approach to do a little bit more flexibility, we're working on it. And we're more than happy later on to get back to the commission to report it. And I'll also have to engage my local community to talk to them about the solution as well. So that's number one. Number two, about Port's question, I hope I have a figure for you, but then I really have to carefully do my maths, because first of all, I think everybody knows, and as Port is also our district councillor in the Southern District, is that it's always the duty at all times for district councillor, for any proposal put to them, they have to engage the community, and for all the views that they reflect at the district council, it has to be representative of the views of his constituency. So I'm sure all these DC members are doing that anyway. For a lot of the activities that were approved by the DC funds and also through my office, a lot of them is engaging the community. So we're doing it every day for understanding the views of the community. And that's exactly why DVB and I myself had various meetings with our concern group, so aside from the usual community outreach that we're doing. So I think after discussions on this design, it's not a full stop. We'll continue through our continued dialogue to talk to my community, the members of the community, is exactly what kind of activities that would introduce more flexibility and creativity and diversity to the community. So it's all obviously and will surely be a continued dialogue. So that's something that we'll work on. And I think finally, for Cherry's views regarding the comments on the concern about particularly the hygiene of the essential project, I'll surely look into it after I go back to my office and talk to LCSC and FHD. But from the feedback that we received through Facebook and also the media taking photos, it seems to be quite a popular site since its opening. So we'll continue to monitor the situation, and I'm sure LCSC would make every effort to make a very pleasant promenade area for our community. So I hope I answered the questions in the meantime. Thanks. Chairman.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Please, Rosalind.
Yeah, yep. Just two more points. I won't repeat on the public consultation. I think Tusan has added on that one. And I won't repeat on dogs and kites as well. I just wish to supplement on the question about entrances. There are two major entrances around the site. Both of them will be open 24 hours a day under the management of LCSD. As regards the provision of seating, you can see that we have tried to put down a few nooks on the benches there for illustrative purpose. We want to make the whole project more interactive, so the district office might be introducing some kind of street furniture competition or other events to involve teenagers to put forward some kind of innovative design to be implemented on the site later. And also for the rain shelters, HSD will try to come up with more design for seating inside the rain shelter in due course. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Thank you. KY, please. Yep. Thank you.
Thanks, Chairman. I know I missed the first round.
Not
well,
right.
Just 2 points about my own view about two issues, the paving and the railing. For the paving, well, if we wanted this to be an event venue suitable for all sorts of events, the way I see is, even though I'm not an architect, a hard paving with concrete is probably the only solution. Because, say, for example, yes, I like the boardwalk along the waterfront, only to a certain width. Other than that, if you actually have events on pave the whole area with boardwalk, what happens if you dance? For example, have some dancing. Well, it's boardwalk for external use, not the baton floor in a, on a stage or in a dance theater. It will be dangerous, not to mention, say, scaling boards, right? So I see concrete is the only solution, though it's hot, right? Just imagine if there's a UN where people put up booth. If I'm the one who set up the booth, if this team, this boardwalk, I may as well just drill a few schools to stabilize the booth, right? So this is something that we should have to avoid. And for the railing, maybe, I guess everybody react differently to whether there's a need for railing or not, apart from the statutory requirement. I had the opportunity to live in Kennedy Town, well, but that was more than half a century ago, when Belcher Bay was still a bay, right? In those days, the tramway was the waterfront. So on one hand, barges came right up to the waterfront to unload cargoes and coolies carry across the street, the road or the tramway to the go down. I always tend to walk on the go down side because as a kid who didn't know how to swim at that time, I never dared to walk on the other side without railing, right? And I guess there are other people who actually have the same issue like me when I was a kid. So I think you better put up some railing apart from the legal requirement.
Anyone else who hasn't spoken? Paul? Oh, yes, please. Lady first. Yes, please. Thank you. Karen?
I'd certainly would support mixed use for that area. I'm a bit confused about the intended use of the bollards. Are they still meant to be used for tying up vessels, or are they just meant to be an artifact? And if they're meant to be used for tying up vessels, is there proper access to and from that area? And also, I know the area is quite famous for photographers for sunset views, and I'm a bit concerned about the lighting, whether that is going to interfere, especially if there's lighting along the edge of the waterfront. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anyone who hasn't spoken like to speak? Paul, new points, please.
Yes, safety buoys and other safety devices so people fall into the water. There are safety devices. And a point for entry and access, I hope that you're going to be accounted for. I suggest that there's going to be proper access organized to the bollard area, as this will be extremely popular for people that go fishing. And why force them to climb over the fence if you can get a proper point of access and exit so people don't have to climb over and potentially therefore fall because they have to climb over a fence? This will be the most popular site, a popular aspect of this one, but people can sit on the bollards, which they do today. Self-organized activities rather than coordinated activities, that's what's happening right now. I'm concerned that we suggest that we have to organize activities or ask people to organize activities rather than trust the community, the enjoyment of the space self-organized. This is the first 1, 2, 3 berth of the entire 23 berth area. The other area, it's on a fine of $10,000 and a half a year in jail, the excess. This is the birth area where you don't, where you're not, where you can have access without having to be put in jail or to pay $10,000. So the question is why, for 73 kilometers of waterfront, we cannot use this short area to experiment with a different way of doing things. And I leave that to the members who have already spoken. Why cannot this be different? Why should this be like we do all our waterfronts? Why can't this not be built on the basis of what is there today? Why has this to be the same as everywhere else? And I just wonder for everybody in the room, why 73 kilometers of railing? The only argument, the honest argument I heard back from the proponents, being a district councillor at RHSD, is that RHSD has no money and no time. Now, can government explain why there is no money and no time for this site? I mean, We have another 20 berths next to it that are used by people every day. We have, Suzanne has listed loads of parks they're actively using. So why, for this site, we have no time? We have 73 kilometers of waterfront, 50 already open. Why no time? I don't understand why no time is a reason for not identifying and developing and experimenting and piloting an alternative solution. We've discussed it, say, for the One Shire waterfront in the bay next to the York Club on a step down, and we discussed it here. Why can't we use this to experiment? Why can't we take the time to pilot? And again, it's a question to all the members around the room here. Are we just going to say yes to this on the basis of no program, no time? And I appreciate Archer's being so honest about the problems that he's facing in trying to do something nice for the community that's going to help us as a whole to move forward. Maybe a final question, where can I eat and drink if we're going to do so many activities here? Is there any food and drinks on this place? I have to express my deep disappointment with where this is going. The pet garden, why do we lock in the dogs in one corner? And the pleasure ground ordinance does not limit pet access in this pleasure ground area, so why cannot the whole area be for dogs or dog accessible? Maybe it's on the lease, but why not? It is today. Why limit the dogs to one corner of the site? It has nothing to do with LCSD pleasure ground regulations, because we're allowing it here. In terms of cycling, in the southern district, in the Ablechao waterfront, the Wind Tower Park, we now have access for bicycles up to a certain age. Again, it is not a restriction under the pleasure ground ordinance. There is no problem to have bicycles in this area. The pleasure ground ordinance, if you all read it well, leaves every opportunity for the director of the LCSD to do whatever he wants. So we do it in the southern district in Ablechao. Why can't you do it here? And so finally, Chairman, Suzanne has given an answer on placemaking, which is basically no answer. In my district, and like every other district, we have to do public consultation, which is circulating a notice to the affected residents, which is a list held by HAD. And there's a piece of paper that goes around, and people can put a comment on it, and that's about it. That's not placemaking. Placemaking is inviting people to come to an event and discuss the opportunity of the site. Put a big tent there, ask everybody to come, give them drawing papers and come up with ideas, then go back, and RHSD, fantastic people, can come back with 3-4 ideas. Second round placemaking, everybody looks at the great ideas, discusses them, and then you do your final plan. That's placemaking. Inviting the community, it's an event, you need tent rentals, you need to do mailings, you need to advertise it. That's placemaking. That's is consultation and placemaking. That's what we want to promise the people, not sending out a form that people can respond to. Chairman, I hope that we can get proper placemaking, self-organized activities, dog and pets and cycling in the entire site, proper access to the waterfront so people can go fishing, sitting on the bollards at their own risk, with a big sign there that says, you enter this area at your own risk, enjoy yourself, which is what we have done at below Wak Wai on the waterfront, where people swim every day.
Thank you very much. Right, lots of hands gone up. Ivan.
Chairman, sorry that I need to spend some more time to speak out my view. First of all, I still will maintain that I will hoping that our waterfront space projects can be completed, you know, in a timely manner. We've been spending a lot of time, over 20 years, in debating on a lot of topic, but having very little projects being completed in the past 20 years. So for the pet garden, why it is enclosing space, you know, it doesn't make sense for me, but I understand why, because if anyone know how the domestic helper walk dogs, and they know why this enclosed pet garden being created. I think this is also responding to the need of some of the dog lover. You know, if they don't have time, they need to ask the domestic helper to walk dog. and just go down to the street in the evening and see how our 姐姐 walk dog, and you can fully appreciate why this enclosed pet garden being designed, even though I don't like it.
So, sir, on behalf of all the domestic helpers in Hong Kong, I object to this line of conversation. I think this is discriminatory and insulting to an entire section of our community.
Yes, this is my observation. Okay, you can pinpoint at me. What I saw is a lot of domestic helpers talking on the telephone all the time when they walk dog, and they stand there, talk. And then sometimes the dog will run away, and then, you know, this is, you know, this you can see everywhere in over Hong Kong. Okay, coming back to the recycled plastic decking material. I actually a very frequent visitor to the Sun Yat Sen garden. It is a very high maintenance and costly material. At the moment, a lot of area in the Sun Yat Sen garden, the timber decking already sort of in a deteriorated state condition and need a lot of timely repairing. So the proposal here, I will still will maintain my view that it's a sort of balance. For the hard floor finishes at the center, one suggestion is because the area is huge, so I would suggest, you know, no matter what material the project proponent are using, please just make some changes in the pattern such that the whole space will not be looking boring when there is no event. For the shelter, please consider whether or not we can be able to provide some drinking fountain apart from the sitting. What else? Wait, one more thing. We've been all focusing on the layout or the design of this open space, but I will ask in long term, the Harbour Office should also consider how to improve the pedestrian connectivity of this space to the neighbourhood. On the left-hand side facing the bus terminal, this is a very good access point, but it's not on the other side because this road is a very high-speed vehicular road, and we have a very fantastic and mature garden open space on the opposite side of the road, but we don't have any good pedestrian connection of this two open space. In long term, I will ask the Harbour Office to study, you know, anything we can do to help to improve the connectivity to allow people to have the access more easily to this open space. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Did I see another hand? Oh, yes, I did. Sorry. Please. Thank you.
I wholeheartedly agree with Paul's view that we have an opportunity here to try something different, and we should. It's a small site. If things don't work, they can always be changed, and that's why I would design everything in the most flexible, open way with as little as possible regulation. Regulation can always be implemented later on. I don't know why we need to overthink things right now when we have a nice box here which we can think outside of, literally speaking. As for the railings, I share the view that they're not necessary. If they're needed for statutory reasons, so be it. But I think railings give you a false sense of security. As a matter of fact, I've noticed that wherever we have railings, we have life rings, but there's no ladders. If somebody falls in, even if somebody throws them a life ring, from what I observed walking the other day from Pier 10 in Central to Tamar, you'd have to swim at least 100 meters, if not more, with a life ring, to find a ladder or landing steps. And, you know, I think railings give you a false sense of security. And in general, I think we need to think outside of the box with this small area. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Any specific answers from HSD or Suzanne? I mean, most of these have been opinions rather than questions, I think, but anything you would like to add?
I think, Chairman, as I think we have members mentioned, that we have discussed this different concerns and issues at various meetings. So I think at the best, this I think is a balance of proposal. But I will assure Paul and other members that our objective is really to opening the site as soon as possible in a safe manner. And all the other expected changes, say, for example, the kind of activities that could happen there, we're working very hard in introducing new elements. We'll continue to work with the community. So this is really just a start. But we hope members will support allowing us to at least move forward with doing the basic infrastructure and facilities so that we can open the site as soon as possible. And then and from the design, and you could see that it's a very open design. So it will allow different kinds of activities to happen. Thanks a lot, Chairman.
Very much. Rosalind, I think?
Yeah, just two simple points. Just want to reassure members that we will try to work together with HSD to improve the pattern to be used on the tiles. And on the second hand, there will be drinking fountain, so no problem on that one. And we will, in the long term, also work together with the Reference Department to improve the connectivity to the site. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Oh. All right, please. I'm going to have to draw a line in a minute, but please, yes.
Thank you, Chairman. I just want to drag on a bit more on the setback. I'm given another two reasons why you need to do setback, apart from preserving the ballast. It is the coping stone and also
the channel,
okay? If there are more reasons for setback, tell me. But if it's setback, make sure it's setback sufficiently safe for people to walk on, rather than setback. I still haven't got a number here. Okay, the setback itself, if it is minimal, you encourage people to climb over, and it will not be safe to walk along it with all these ballast. Okay, therefore make sure you are not compromising safety. I am supportive of railing for safety reasons. Hong Kong is averse to risk. We must make sure that we are protecting our public well. If people want to take risk, go to somewhere else. Okay, that's all I have to make here.
Right, thank you. Yes, Francis, please.
I support to go ahead for the project first because now the space is not usable. It's closed, so many people will have different views. But at least we got something safe and can be used in an open way for everybody now. Just make it happen now.
Thank you. Members, what I'd like to do is to just to sum up and share with you some of my own thoughts. I mean, first of all, I think what I sense and what I've sensed for some time is that there is a growing demand, a growing pressure on government to pilot an alternative solution and pilot an alternative approach. Now, if this isn't the time, if this isn't the opportunity to do it, I think, Debbie, you've got to come back to us very specifically with a site where you are going to pilot. We're not getting that message through at the moment. I don't think we're getting the response that we want. So if this isn't the place to pilot, let's find a site and let's really see if we can solve these problems of railings, steps down to the water, accessibility, et cetera, et cetera. Because I think we have to get our head around it. Your defence mechanism at the moment is to say this site isn't suitable, this isn't the appropriate site. Well, if this isn't, then we want to know which is. And I think, in fairness, you must come at the Commission as a matter of some urgency, if you like, or as a matter of some priority, and say, we've found a site, we think this is a site where we're going to experiment, we're going to open it to the public without railings, with steps down to water, etc., and we're going to trial, and we're going to see firsthand what happens. Because I don't think we can just continue with this impasse as we are today. So that's a must, I think, and I think members would support that, the need to pilot, the need to trial. Not necessarily be this site, but in another location, but I think you do owe it to us to do that. Suzanne, continued dialogue. I've taken that down, I've written that down, I've underlined it, I make sure it's in the minutes. You must engage with the community, all right, on this, because clearly the diverse views around this table are going to be diverse views from the community, so don't assume that this is going to necessarily be acceptable to the community as you show it today. I sense it'll need some refinement. So I think you need to dialogue with the community. And we'll look to you to do that. In terms of taking things forward, I mean, the way I look at this seems to me it's an expeditious solution, if that's the way to put it. It's a means of getting the community to the water, to this site as quickly as possible, and perhaps we should look at it that way. I sense if we start talking about using this as a pilot, we'll be talking in a year, 2 years' time about public access. So my sense is if we want to get the public to this site quickly, then we have to run with something similar to this, but we do need this pilot, and we do need to see that we're looking at alternative options going forward. Members, happy on that score? Can Maggie go first, sorry, and then you, Paul, sorry.
Sorry, just to say, I think it seems to me that this is probably the only way forward at the moment. There is obviously still disagreement amongst different sectors as to how we should proceed, and I think absolutely essential we have a pilot. I mean, I do appreciate this is a big site, and to do a pilot on a very big site has its difficulties. I'm not, apart from the fact that we would like to open this up as quickly as possible, with which I'm in agreement, I feel that a lot of this would be very, very difficult to change, should it not actually work. I mean, the material, it's a very long, big site. How are we going to change a concrete surface if it doesn't actually work? I mean, I do find this a bit of a worry. I'm sure there are materials that could do a better job. Some people might not know it, but in Taitan Park, they've been over the pathways experimenting over some years, and there is definitely one section which I think might suit quite well, which doesn't seem to absorb, reflect heat off in quite the same way. I just think a little more work needs to be done. Do we have to have it all exactly the same throughout the whole thing? I'm not sure. But I think we ought to think about this, because otherwise, whether it's just to get it there as quickly as possible or a long-term decent use aren't compatible at the moment. I do think the only other thing is, just everybody knows, I really do think we need more consultation on this, but I do have sympathy with those doing the consultation. It is very difficult in this town to get 100% consensus on anything. So let us be practical. If there's a good, solid majority, we'll have to go ahead.
Thank you. Okay. Paul, quickly.
Yeah, I just want to express my support for Raymond's proposal to widen the limited access waterfront area for safety reasons. So set back the barrier, but make sure that there is access for people to get there safely, but it should be clearly indicated that it's at your own risk.
All right, let's draw a line then. So Rosalind, Suzanne, Archie, take away the comments, review them, consider them, please. Suzanne, engage. Dev B, pilot, please. Pilot. All right, thank you very much.